So we have seen this first nice result, continuous function over a compact set admits a maximum and a minimum point, at least one. Okay? But to develop algorithms to find minimum or maximum points, we need some more knowledge about functions of several variables. Okay? We need calculus. Okay? We need some derivatives. Derivatives provide information on the behavior of a function. Okay? You should know derivative of function of one variable. The topic of this, the remaining part of this lecture and the next lecture will be exactly to provide you the basic of calculus for function of several variables. I will stress the similarities with the case n equal 1, but also some meaningful differences. Okay? Okay, I can... The main thing is that when you have just one variable, your space is aligned. Okay? And there are not many ways you can move on the line. You can go this way, you can go this way. Okay? When you are in n dimension, let's say just n equal 2, a plane, you have a number of directions. You can move, let's say you are in the plane. You can move this direction, you can move this direction, you can move this direction. But also you can move along curves. Okay? So this is the source of differences. Okay? On a line, you just have, you are forced to move on the line. On n dimension, you are free to move along many directions and many curves. Okay? Indeed, the first thing I consider is the idea of a formalized idea of a direction. Okay? D in Rn it is a unitary vector, so its norm is equal to 1, will be called a direction. Okay? I mean, consider a point x bar in Rn. Okay? And consider the set of points x bar plus t times d, where t is any real number. Okay? You add to the vector x the vectors t times d. Okay? Well, this is x bar. Let's say in two dimensions d is this point, unitary norm. Okay? What is this set? This set is, move it here, is this line. Okay? If you see D as a vector rather than a point, this is the vector, this is x t plus, sorry, x bar plus t. Okay? This will be x bar plus t 2 times d and so on, and in the other way with negative coefficients. Okay? So this is a line. Okay? And D provides the direction of the line. Okay? And if you restrict, to taking positive t's, okay, t's which are greater or equal than zero, this means t greater or equal than zero, what you're getting is this upline.
it's up.
Yes, this is the set of all points done this way.
It's a linear.
Somehow yes, but you, here you keep one piece. Okay, it's a linear combination, of course, but what you are changing in the linear combination is just this coefficient here, while this is kept fixed. Okay, so it is this point, because here if this is x, you're doing this. Let's say x is here, okay, x is this point here. You're doing x plus d, which is this vector. Okay, x plus 1/2 times d, it is this vector. X plus 2 times d, it is, this is 2 times d, it is this vector. Okay? And so you describe this half line. If you change also the coefficients in front of x bar, you get the whole space. Okay, in R2. Okay? In R n you get a subspace of dimension 2. Okay, when you take n equals 1, how did you compute a derivative? The idea of the derivative. The idea of the derivative was to take f at the point plus some, let's say some d. Now let's say some value, okay, t minus f, no sorry, x bar, f our given point. F at x bar plus t minus f at t divided by t, okay, and this was known as the incremental ratio. Okay, then so, the difference of values in x plus t and x bar and divided by the distance of the two points in R, okay? And you took the limit as t goes to 0 if this limit exists, and this was the derivative. And then you had rules to compute it. Now we have n which is generally greater than 1. Okay? Here t was a number, but also x bar was a number, so you could sum them up. Okay? Okay, imagine here you have, you can always imagine, you have 1. I should buy new color chalks. Okay? It's the same. X bar plus t times 1. Okay? 1 is a direction. Okay? N equals 1, direction means a number whose absolute value is 1. Okay?
T has values 1, t.
No, t times, prodotto.
Ah, t, ah, okay.
So, when you have a number, you can think it is as the number times 1.
Times means multiplicare.
Well, okay, we can think exactly this ratio in the same way in n dimension, where rather than having 1, here you have a direction d. Okay? So, the incremental ratio can be considered in this way, but now the incremental ratio depends on the choice of D. Okay? Because you could take different directions. While in the one-dimensional case you could have taken 1 or minus 1. Okay? But here you are taking anything going to 0 but positive or negative. And so if you put here 1 or minus 1, when you take the limit, there is no difference. Okay? Because you are going to zero both from positive and negative values. Okay? Well, in more than one dimension it makes a difference. Okay? Because you have many directions. And so, for each direction, you have an incremental ratio in that direction. Okay. So when you speak of the derivative, you speak exactly as it was in the one-dimensional case of taking the limit as t goes to zero, if this limit exists. Okay. But you don't get the derivative. You get the derivative with respect to the chosen direction. Okay? If this limit exists, this is generally noted this way. The partial derivative of that with respect to the direction d at the point x bar. Okay? This notation is to take into account that you are considering a direction d. Okay? And you say that a function f has a derivative in the direction d if this limit exists, if the above limit exists, and if it exists, this quantity is called the directional derivative of f at the point x bar in the direction d. The name is much longer. Here you just set the derivative at the point. Here you need to say the derivative at the point in the direction. Okay? You change the direction, if the limit exists, the value of the derivative is likely to be different. Notice one thing. In this ratio, everything is fixed except t, which is a number. Okay? The function is fixed. The point x bar is fixed. The direction d is fixed. This can be seen as a function of one variable. Okay? This incremental ratio can be seen as a function of t once the f, x bar, and d are chosen, are fixed. Okay? So here you are taking the limit of a function of one variable, something you should already know. There are special directional derivatives. Okay? Let's just go on with our two-dimensional example. R2.
Okay. But the result of this limit is the coefficient angular of the function.
No, it's more Ok, this is true in one dimension, ok? If you go to two or more dimensions, it's more complex. Because you, in two dimensional, the graph of the function is, if n is equal to, the graph of the function is in R3. So the graph of the function is a surface. So angles have to be three-dimensional angles, so it's more complex. Okay? I mean, you are no longer dealing with functions which are done this way. I'm not able to draw them on the picture. On Friday, if I manage, I will take my computer and I'll show you some figures. Okay? Because I'm not able to draw them. Okay? So it's a bit more complex than that. Direction. I was saying there are in our end there are particular directions. For instance, when we have this one. 1, 0, 0, 1 in R2. Okay. Or more generally in R n, the direction EI, whose components are all zero except the component I. Okay. The canonical basis of R. Okay. This is the canonical basis of R. This is E1 and this is E2. These are particular directions. And you could consider these as directions in your derivatives. Okay? The derivatives along this kind of direction have a particular relevance, and they are also called partial derivatives. So, the direction of f with respect to the direction E is called partial derivative, and the standard notation is not this one, okay, which is correct according to our framework, but the classical notation is the partial derivative of f to respect to xi. And I'll try to explain you why. Well, let's write the limit again. I'm considering f in x bar. Let's write it explicitly. x1 plus t times the first component of this vector, which is 0, okay? Plus the second, then the second component is x2 bar, which is likely to be 0 unless I is equal to, and so on. They are all 0 except component I, which is t times 1. So you are adding t here, and all the others are equal. So this incremental ratio is written this way. What do you notice? Here, everything is fixed except here. Okay? You change nothing except the I component of this vector. Okay. Here, sorry, I'm used to write x as the whole vector. This is clearly all the components of the vector. Okay. So somehow you are just changing the component I. Okay. And everything is fixed. Could be considered as a parameter. And essentially what you are changing is just this component. Okay? So it's like you are doing the derivative of the function which of one variable, which is this component, while all the rest is fixed. Okay? So this is the relevance of these derivatives. Consider all the components fixed except component I, and make the standard one dimensional derivative of that function of that component only. Okay? And this is how you do things in practice. Okay? To compute partial derivatives, you have the function of your variables, but you keep all of them fixed except one, and you take the derivative with respect to that variable. Okay? I just give you a very simple two-dimensional example. Okay? Let's consider the function of two variables. So x is a vector of components x1 and x2. Okay? And just take the product of the two variables, x1 times x2. Okay? And I make the partial derivative of f with respect to x1 in any point. Okay? This means I take x2 as a parameter, as if it were a number, and I make the derivative with respect to the other variable. The derivative of x of yes. So the derivative of a number times the variable is the number. Okay? So this is x2. And if you make the derivative with respect to x2, you get x. Okay? So this is a practical way you do it. Okay? You consider all the other variables as a parameter, and you take the derivative of that variable. Okay?
But what a question. X signed is a vector. Signed.
Yes. Is the vector x1, x2 in
dimension
of dimension. Yeah.
Then it's inside the one. Plus t or
yeah, x1 plus t, and in the other case x2 plus t, and the rest is fixed.
All
the
plus t. So No,
just this one, because the vector you are adding is AE, which is 0, 0, 1 in the I position and 0 elsewhere. So when you sum, all components are at 0 except this one, which is t times 1, so it's t. Okay. So partial derivatives are important. Partial derivatives are important, and they provide us the main tool we will use throughout both semesters. Which is the gradient of f at x bar denoted this way, nabla f at x bar, and it is nothing else than the vector of all the partial derivatives computed at x bar. So is the derivative of f with respect to x1 computed at x bar, the derivative with respect to x2 computed at x bar, till the derivative of x with respect to x1 computed at x bar.
Okay, so gradients are okay. Well, the gradient exists if all these derivatives, partial derivatives, exist. Okay. I mean, there are situations in which the derivatives do not exist. And I'll show you an example. Okay, so we make some computation. Just give you an example, which can be given in Rn. Which is this function. To each vector x of Rn, we associate the value of its norm. Okay? The norm of a function of a, the norm is a function. Okay? Obviously. Well, I'm going to show you that if we consider x bar to be the zero vector, there are no partial derivatives. Okay? I mean, there is no directional derivative of the function at the zero vector. Let's write the incremental ratio. Okay? This quantity here. And then we try to take the limit. So f at x bar plus td. X bar is 0, so let's write this. This is the norm of 0 plus t times d. Okay. This is the norm minus the norm of the 0 vector, which is the norm of the 0 vector. 0, so minus 0, divided by t. Let's apply property of the norm. T times d. What's the norm of this vector? Do you remember on Friday? Absolute value of t times the norm of t, okay, divided by t. Now, d is a direction, so the norm of a direction is 1. So, this quantity is the absolute value of t divided by t. Okay? Well, if t is positive, what's this value? T is positive, the absolute value is equal to t, this is 1. T is negative. This is minus t.
So, minus t divided t is minus 1.
Now, if we want to take the limit as t goes to 0, if we are approaching 0 with positive values, we are getting 1.
This is not true. It is true if t is strictly superior to 0, if t is equal to 0, but this is not there.
Oh, this is okay, you...
Okay, yeah. Then 0 is not well defined. Okay? But we don't mind because we want the limit for t that goes to 0. So if we approach 0 with positive values, we get 1. If we approach with negative values, we get minus 1. So the limit does not exist. Okay? So the limit for t, that goes to 0 of absolute value of t divided t does not exist. Okay? So, in 0, the norm does not have partial, does not have directional derivative, does not have partial derivative. So, this is an example of... Because we have taken this to be a... it is not relevant. Here we do that, the norm of t and minus the norm of b. But we take t to be a vector of norm 1. If you check your notes at the beginning, I said, let's take D a vector whose norm is 1 and let's call this a direction. Okay?
Yes.
Okay? Now, well,
if I take the limit for T that goes to 0
and it is positive, this limit exists and is 1.
If I take the limit as t goes to 0 and 0 is negative and t is negative, then this limit is minus 1.
Okay. These two limits exist. Indeed, there is another definition, which I can write it here, which we will not exploit, but I am telling you for completeness. Which is the same stuff as here, but you take the limit as t that goes to 0 plus, meaning that it goes to 0, but t is restricted to be positive. Okay?
So the limit as t goes to 0 plus, t goes to 0 plus means t goes to 0 plus t, we consider just positive t, of the same incremental ratio, so I do not write it again, okay, which is generally denoted this way, f prime x bar in the direction b, okay, and this is called one-sided directional derivative. I can write it of f at x bar in the direction b.
And there is no standard notation which puts a bit like the other one. There is no standard notation which puts a bit like the other one.
This is the standard notation for it.
Yeah, there is no other notation for this which puts a bit like this.
No. No, no. It's this one. No notation of this kind. If this is your question. One-sided means that you approach the limit in the directional derivative just on one side.
Do you remember my drawing, x bar, direction d? Okay. When you take the limit as t that goes to zero, you are approaching the point both these ways. Okay? When you take the limit with positive t, you are not considering this. Okay? This is relevant because, okay, I tell you and then you can forget. This function has one side directional derivatives. This belongs to a class of functions which do not necessarily admit directional derivatives and partial derivatives, but always admit one side directional derivatives. Okay? But, okay, our choice. We won't consider this case. We will consider function who admit partial derivatives. Okay? So this is nice and easy function, but we will not consider it. Actually, for instance, we will consider the square of this, which is much better. Okay. Here comes the first relevant difference with the case n equal 1. Okay? In the case n equal 1, if you have the derivative at a point, the function is continuous at the point. Okay? Suppose, okay, let's make it even simpler. You have derivatives everywhere. Okay? This implies that the function is continuous. Okay? Now, we would like the same for n greater than 1. We have directional derivatives, so we would like to deduce that the function is continuous. This is not true. There might be functions which admit directional derivatives, this one, but are not continuous. Okay? Something is missing. I give you an example. Okay? I will not do the computation, but I'll give you the example and explain why this function has directional derivatives, but does not have partial, but is not continuous. And the function is the following. It's once again a function of two variables. You find it in most calculus books, so it's not some idea of strange idea of my own. And the function of so n equals 2, and at a vector x of components x1 and x2, the function has this value. x1 squared times x2 divided x1 to the fourth power plus x2 squared all squared. Okay? This is the point is not the zero vector, because if it is the zero vector, here the denominator would be zero, so the function would be not defined. And let's say we take value zero for the function in the zero vector. Okay? Exercise for you. You find the computation in my notes. Take a generic direction D and compute the directional derivative. How do you compute the directional derivative in x bar equals 0?
zero vector. Well, you apply the definition, okay? X bar is zero, the function in zero value is zero, so you have nothing. You write how the function, the value of the function in the points t times d. You write them. You take, you divide it by t. You make simplification, and you take the limit as t goes to zero. It's a computation. What you get is zero. Okay. You make the whole computation. You take the limit, and the limit exists, and it is zero. Okay. I don't want to bother you with the calculation. It's just one line. Okay. A standard algebraic computation. Well, so directional derivative exists, but the function is not continuous in zero, and I'll show you simply in this way. Take points which have this form. X1 is arbitrary, okay, and X2 is alpha times X1 squared. Okay, so you are computing the values of the function along this parabola. Okay, so the function is defined on the plane x1, x2. You are computing the values of the function along this parabola. Okay. You make the computation, once again, simple algebraic exercise, and what you get is surprising, a number which does not depend on the point. Okay? It depends just on alpha. Along this parabola, the function is constant. And it is this value. Suppose that we take alpha equal 1, this value is 1 over 4. Okay? Well, it means that if I approach 0, 0 along this parabola, the function here has always value 1 4. So if I take the limit here, the value should be 1 4. Okay? But here it shows zero, so the function is not continuous. Okay, I'm wrong. Let's take 1 4. Okay, but now I take another value for alpha, 2. Okay, so it means I'm taking this different parabola. Okay, here the value becomes 4 divided 25. Okay. Along this parabola, the function is constant and takes this value, which is different from this. No matter what I put here, the function is not continuous, okay? Because it is constant along parabolas. Along this parabola, will be constant but with another value. Along this other parabola, it will be constant but with another different value. The values change this way. So, this function in zero is not continuous. What is the reason of this? The reason is what I told you at the very beginning. When you move along R, you are moving along the line. There's just one way you can move. Okay? When you consider partial derivatives, you are decomposing your movement along these two orange directions. Okay? But in R2, and more generally in Rn, you can move in many other ways. Okay? Which are not moving along a line. You can move along the parabola. You can move along any other curve you want. So, taking into account the behavior just along fixed direction isn't enough. Okay? You can have all the directional derivatives you want, but the function may not be continuous. And at the beginning of the lecture, I hope you understood why I want continuous function. Because if I have continuity and compactness of the set on which I'm considering the continuous function, I know that there exist minimum and maximum points. Okay? So I'm not completely satisfied with this. Directional derivatives do not take into account the complexity of the n-dimensional space. Okay? In R, you can just move along dimensions. In R2, that's not all you can do. Okay? Here it's just a parabola, but I think that moved also along some other type of curves. Indeed, directional derivatives are very important and we will exploit them, but they are linked to a stronger concept of derivability, okay, of derivatives. And I'm ending the lecture giving you the definition. The right concept for function of several variable is that of differentiability, not directional derivative. A function f from Rn to R is called, if, let's say, differentiable at a point x bar in Rn, if, and now I'm going to give you the definition, but I want you to notice first that here I'm not speaking of directions, okay? When I define directional derivatives, I have to fix a direction. Here, the property regards the point, only the point, okay? If, and now I give you, if there exists a linear function f from Rn to R such that we have the following. Whatever vector B I choose in Rn, f at V plus, at f, sorry, plus V is, at x bar plus V, sorry, is equal to f at x bar plus the linear function evaluated in B plus a residual term which depends on f and the given point and at B, okay, where this residual function has this property. If you divide it by the norm of B and you take the limit as B goes, as the norm of B goes to zero, then this ratio goes to zero. I explain you the definition and then we stop. What do you mean? What am I meaning? If I consider the function In a point done this way, which is x bar plus something else, this is just like considering the function of the point q plus a linear term which depends on v only, okay, plus some, this is called residual. And the property of the residual, and that is going to zero at least as fast as the norm of v, as v goes to zero. Okay? So, the closer and closer vector v is to be the zero vector, the better this approximation is. Okay? So, the function varies near x bar, this is what it means, v very small, okay, can be approximated linearly, okay, because this is a fixed value and this depends on v, okay. As v is small, so as closer as we are to x bar, the behavior of the changing can be approximated but by a linear term. Okay? Clearly, this is true for all values b, but the property is given when b goes to zero. Okay? This does not depend on any direction. Okay? I will be back to this on Friday. I will explain this definition again, maybe better, and then I will show you how this is useful and how it is related, because it is related, to the gradient.